Small businesses are the heartbeat of our nation. Meet the force behind professional development and certification for Small Business America, the private small business society, pioneers of professional development for small businesses. With over 2,000 active members, we stand as the exclusive destination for certifications to elevate your business game. Everyone talks about starting a business, but at PSBS, we're focused on what truly matters, guiding you with proper training and development on how to grow and scale that business. Join us for the State of Small Business Address on Friday, November 24th at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. This is an event that you don't want to miss, as we'll be diving deep into the challenges and triumphs of small businesses across America. Visit thepsbs.com or click the link below in the show notes to learn more. Private Small Business Society. There is no America without Small Business America. See you on the inside, family. Peace.
There's no purpose in teaching anybody who don't really want to learn, who really don't want to get to it. Everybody want to play entrepreneur. They don't want the sacrifice that come with the shit.
Truly. Late nights, early mornings.
You're going to lose friends, lose girlfriends. Family going to call you crazy, not going to believe in you. Then you make it, and then everybody going to be like, I'm proud of you. Let me get some money.
What I've realized that wealthy people understand, and people in general, is the small concepts that you can apply to get wealthy. You don't got to be super smart and got to know all the intricacies of real estate or taxes or e-commerce or whatever, trucking, whatever
it is.
It's
good if you want to be rich in that business, but you don't need to know that.
You don't need to know everything. You just need to know small, basic concepts. Mm-hmm. And one of the smallest basic concepts that anybody can understand is get money by income. Get money, buy more money.
I woke up feeling wealthy today. My bank account might not agree, but hey, that shit on the way. Me and my niggas laying brick on top of brick till we straight. If you the type that play the victim, you can't come in my space. You know this game ain't for the weak, it's hard to carry this weight. I keep my balance through the ups and downs, I'm never gonna break. You feel the purpose in my spirit when you look in my face. Cause this ain't a second, I can waste something food on plate.
What up with it, my wealthy people? It is your boy, David. One of the founders of the Black Wealth Renaissance. I'm here with my brother from another Jalen. How you doing?
What's good with my brother, man? I'm great, dog. Back at this thing.
Man, it been a minute,
major
dog.
Life updates.
Yo, yeah.
New breaking pops. News. I'm a new father now. So thank you, man. My son just made a month. It's been a life-changing experience, dog. Like, every time I look in his face, I just get this overwhelming feelings of like, dang, I got to protect you. I want to make sure I'm, you know, raising you right, being a good example for what you need to do to be a good man and just provide for society. But that shit crazy, dog.
Then shifted that perspective, man.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, bro. But and life's been good too, bro. You know, just working. Niggas been working. It's good to see your journey, see you growing, seeing little Mav get up there. But man, y'all, we in Atlanta. I said it's been a minute since we recorded last year. I think a couple months. Y'all know we've been grinding. He been new father. I done had a lot of death in the family, man. We've been dealing with some stuff, but we back at it again. We in Atlanta this weekend for the Black Men's Summit, and we got another great episode for y'all coming.
A very special guest,
like my brother said. Man, been doing this thing on the music scene for a long time. Shit, I know whenever I first got introduced to him, like, I was in love with everything that man was putting out.
Yeah,
it was crazy, and like, just good to see the growth, the continued
Especially
growth.
If you was in college around the time he started jumping off.
Man, that the parties,
man,
come
I'm
on,
telling
man.
You, dog.
This shit was lit. But no, brother, like, he's been doing this thing, continuing to grind on the independent scene. Started his own label recently. And well, not recently, but continuing to do his thing and finding his way as an independent. We had none other than the one and only K Camp. How you doing?
Yeah, what's happening?
What's up with it, my brother?
What's happening, my guys?
Man, thank you for checking in, tapping in with us, my brother. We appreciate it, man.
For sure, man. That's all love.
Hell yeah. So look, we just going to hop right into it, bro. Once again, we're a financial podcast. We like to talk money, but we're just going to get into you first. Like, what made you want to take this journey into music anyway? Like, what got you started there?
What got me started? I really think it's in my blood, bro. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? My grandma my I just found out who I gotta call my mama. My grandma was background singer. Was it's a popular ass song out there. I just found out like a week ago. My uncle played in Vegas for Michael Jordan, Charles Barkley. My auntie was a singer in a band. So that shit really kind of fell in my lap. But I was hooping at first. Mm-hmm. Basketball was my first love, you know what I'm saying? School ball, AAU, summer league shit since like 5 years old. You know, 12th grade, broke my ankle, you know what I'm saying? So I had to figure out what the hell I was going to do. And music was in the back pocket, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. When I wasn't at basketball practice, we was in the studio fucking around. When I, you know, at the studio, you know what I'm saying? It was back and forth. So when I stopped hooping, I feel like music was like the second option because I didn't know what the fuck else I was going to do. Trap, be fucking around with pop, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. It was either that or just, you know what I'm saying, find a little activity. So that's how really how the music felt in my life.
I feel you. Know? Like I say, a lot of times from my community, it feel like trap, rap, or go to the
You
league.
Feel me? That's the only thing.
That's
you
a lot of me? The options that it feel like a lot of the time. So God. With music being the route that you went, like, when did you realize it was a viable option for you? I know you still like, got family.
Oh, I'm good at this shit. Yeah. I'm actually kind of nice.
I say I knew I was good when... You know, so me and my guys, we always used to record, but I was the only one. I ain't gonna say the only one, but I'm the one that's taking the music home, playing that shit on the bus, trying to, you know what I'm saying? Folks like, oh, you sound straight. You know what I'm saying? I'm liking the way I sound. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I was fucking with everybody versus, but I just like the way I sound on these motherfuckers. Mm-hmm. Like, hearing yourself back, like, I'm actually kind of straight at this shit. So it just went from there to going to college, you know what I'm saying? Just trying to pass out CDs, dropping out of college. You know what I'm saying? Just taking that shit serious or taking that risk. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's all I had. So I just went
I think
for
that
it.
The big thing you just mentioned there, you said you were marketing yourself even in high school, right?
Yeah, for sure.
That's like a piece of people think you can just create something. Mm-hmm.
And throw it up on Instagram,
build
now,
it in
TikTok,
come,
and they
throw
go.
It on SoundCloud. People go listen, but you gotta be putting those feet to the street,
yeah,
and getting
sure.
it in front of people.
For sure. I done did all that, dog. I done been in that game 10 plus, bro. I didn't. Gave the DJ Ciroc and Cranberry. I done got in hit the streets with the CD burning, you know, the burnt CDs with the Sharpie on that motherfucker. Yeah. I done did all that shit, bro. I done been in. We been outside, bro.
That's the part that people don't see though. They see the hit song.
Yeah.
They see the nice cars and all this mm-hmm. stuff, and they be like, oh, he up. It happened overnight, but
definitely didn't happen overnight, bro. It took 10 years just to goddamn get some money.
So whenever you first get your big break, right? What's your thoughts and what's that first song where you like, yeah, nigga, we cooking. Like, now we got the streets buzzing.
I remember when I first heard my song on the radio, I was outside hooping. Actually, it's crazy. I was outside.
The
in
first love with the second love.
Right. I was outside in the cul-de-sac playing a little one-on-one. And I heard Greg Street. I don't know if y'all familiar with Greg Street, but he had played one of my records. Like, it was called All Night. It was probably one of the first records I was pushing. But that nigga said my name wrong on the radio. I was so fucking mad.
Damn, what'd he call you?
Remember, I don't know if y'all remember back in the day when Soulja Boy were going. Remember the dances, Cash Camp?
Yes.
I don't.
He called me Cash Camp.
Oh, damn.
He called me Cash Camp on the radio. I was like, fuck. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Did but you try to call him? You're like, hey,
I
man,
have his
you
number, but
fix
I was,
that shit, though.
I was still having my shit with playing, but I was like, fuck, the nigga fucked my name up. But at that moment, I was like, all right, cool, like, they playing my shit on the radio, all right. That mean I got potential to do something. Mm-hmm. So let me just figure this shit out, get my head back in the studio and just I still was broke. I ain't had no money. You know, I just heard my song on the radio. So that was like an accomplishment, but I still didn't know what the hell I was gonna do next. You feel me? So mm-hmm. just got back in the studio and just kept this shit going. You know what I'm saying? Popping out in the club. I'm in the clubs every night, you know. All that type of shit. You know, the real grind, the real
yeah.
Monday.
The shit niggas don't see.
Saturday, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Popping out for real.
So shit, let's fast forward, right? So now you buzzing and shit, you got your songs going. When do you start picking up the business side in the music industry? Because I feel like that's where a lot of people get fucked whenever they become an artist.
We talked about them contracts, right? Like contracts, all that shit.
Bro, I ain't gonna lie, bro. I just got on the business probably like 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay.
I say, what am I? Yeah, probably like 27, 28, bro, when I locked in on my business. Since... When I first got signed in 2013 until, 2017, 18, mm-hmm. ain't no shit about nothing.
You just wanted to be the artist.
I was just an artist. I was just making music. I just wanted to be in the studio. I just wanted to vibe out with the hoes. I just wanted to drink. I just, you know what I'm saying? And go perform until, you know what I'm saying? You know, I wouldn't say every artist go through it, but the majority of artists go through it where it's always a conflict of interest between the artist management or the label or something that's going on that the younger artists didn't pay attention to and it affects them in the long run. You know what mm-hmm. I'm saying? We hear about it every day. But it just got to that point where I was doing so much. You know, so I was on the road for like 3 years straight. You know, so I barely was home. I was making good money. So I wasn't really stunting the business. I was like, shit, this is the most money I ever need.
Checks was coming in.
Life, you know what I'm saying? I'm getting checks. iTunes, Apple Music checks for $15,000-$30,000. I'm putting it in the drawer. Like, you know, I'll get back to it later. That's how I knew I was getting money. I was like, I'm getting money.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
You get like, real, but you take a 30K check and just put that
I'm throwing
shit
it in the drawer like it's just a sock. Like, I'm getting money. So, you know what I'm saying? I wasn't really stunted until I got older and try to, you know what I'm saying, understand. I just, shit wasn't just adding up. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Shit wasn't adding up. It wasn't as sweet as I thought it was. And it got to the point where, you know what I'm saying, Mom Dukes was heavily involved in my career. And she was handling my finances at one point. And I said this in an interview before. I ain't checked my account for like a year and a half, 2 years, like my bank account. I just swipe my shit. Like, if it still go through, I still got paper. You know what I'm saying? I still got paper.
What you'd have did if you would have slid that bitch and ain't nothing would have went?
Put out that. Some cash. Put out some cash on their ass.
You know what's crazy too? Whenever a car declined, them niggas be so loud about it, bro.
Yeah, for sure.
Excuse me, sir.
Even
it
if I got money
car.
On the car, even if I got know I got money in my account, I get nervous when they swipe my shit. Like, you got always had little safety net. Like, okay, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, just y'all ain't so about you, to try to stun on me.
You ain't about to swipe my shit 3-4 times. Look at me, no sir. But where I was at, I was talking about
You ain't checked the account for 2 or 3 years?
Yeah, I ain't checked that account in like 2 or 3 years. You know what I'm saying? My mama was handling my shit. And it got to a point my mama was just, you know what I'm saying? You know your mama. You know your family. You know what I'm saying? They're your closest members. You know when their energy change or how they, you know, and they look off. And it was like my mama was just hella stressed the fuck out. I'm like, and I'm asking like, you good? Like, you know what I'm saying? What's going on? Boom, boom, boom. And we had that transparent conversation about my finances at that point. So she was, you know what I'm saying, she didn't want to tell me because she didn't want to stress me out. Had me just tripping, you know what I'm saying? So it was one of those things where that was a moment. I think that was like 2017, 18. I remember exactly where I was at. I had a crib out in Alpharetta, and I was on the porch talking to her. And we had that transparent conversation. And that was the day I put my Bit Boy pants on and told her I had two accounts. I had an account with no money in it. That was like an account that we made that just was sitting. And I had an account where all the money went through. And I remember I told her, I said, you take the original account, you make sure the bills paid, you make sure all this, you know what I'm saying? I'm gonna take this account and I'm gonna figure this shit out. I'm about to, you know what I'm saying, lock the fuck in. And I turned the whole thing around. You know what I'm saying? I went to YouTube University, you know, learn about credit, learn about business, learn about everything I need to know. And you know, I'm back, I'm up still.
Hey,
I'm up,
bro.
I just closed on the house October. My first home.
Congrats on that, yeah.
1.2 acres, you know what I'm saying? Just bought a new whip. I'm
nice ass new whip, by the way. I see that thing outside. Yeah. Hey.
That's my old whip.
That's the old whip. Oh, see, he's putting up stunting on us and shit. No, but it's good to see that, like, you was able to take that situation and turn it around. And you said something earlier. You mentioned about the conflict of interest.
Yeah.
I think I heard you mention in your career, we see it all the time, like you said, you had your manager, and your manager was negotiating, and y'all had the same attorney?
Yeah, we had the same lawyer. And it's so crazy. That lawyer's still out here active. And I done seen him in the studio one time. I was dealing with that artist. And I'm in the studio with her. I ain't going to tell y'all who she is. But I'm in the studio with her. And this nigga walk in. I'm looking at this nigga like, but you know I don't fuck with you.
Yeah, you know I really want to be.
You know what I'm saying? You know I don't fuck with you. He trying to fake the funk like everything cool. Cause he trying to keep his persona in front of the, you know what I'm saying? That game crazy, dog.
So, like, I mean, if you can speak on it, like, was it a situation where it's like, he fucked you on the points. He tried to double dip. Like,
it ain't even him. I don't even blame him. You know what I'm saying? I can't blame him. He took a role in it, but I can only blame myself, bro.
That's real.
You know what I'm saying? I ain't gonna blame the manager either. You know what I'm saying? At this point, I'm past all that shit. But if we rewind and think about it, I should have been on my shit a little more and read that shit and got it. You know what I'm saying? I was just putting too much trust into him, but that was his lawyer. So his lawyer gonna make sure he got the best interest. He gonna make sure I'm cool. Yeah. But he gonna make sure his partner got the best interest. So that's how it plays.
He the one who actually, you know, running the whole thing.
He the one that brought him in to help me. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So he ain't gonna make sure his end fucked up. He gonna make sure my shit kind of you know how they go.
Like enough to where you ain't making no noise.
You feel me? You know what I'm saying? So that's
I ain't
how
messing you over, but I also didn't give you a favorable deal.
Exactly.
I feel
you. You know what I'm saying? And my management was like, they was taking cope. They was taking producer credits and like not. I was in a production deal and a management deal.
Okay.
Okay.
So I was using. They produced. I was getting funneled all through their shit. So they
would kind, was it. So was it kind of like a 360?
You can probably say that.
Okay.
It was 360. Okay. I knew something was going on. A producer bought a mansion, and I was still in a condo. And I was like, hold on.
Hey there. Ever thought about what makes your heart beat a little faster?
Oh, you mean like when you discover a new track that just speaks to you?
Yeah, or finding a movie that you can't stop thinking about? Well, get ready to feel that excitement all over again because Amazon Prime is here to take your entertainment and shopping experience to the next level.
Absolutely. Prime isn't just about getting your packages quicker. It's about diving into a world of endless possibilities, from the latest releases to exclusive content you won't find anywhere else.
And don't even get me started on the music. Prime offers concert specials that will transport you right to the front room. It's like being at the hottest gigs without leaving your living room.
I use Prime to tap in with some of my favorite artists' live shows from any and every genre of music.
Trust me, Prime is a game changer. It's like having a personalized superstore and entertainment hub right at your fingertips.
So why wait? Head over to Amazon.com/Prime and start experiencing entertainment like never before.
When something happens to your kitchen, you might say,
"This is ludicrous."
But that won't fix your home. That will only get you the rapper, Ludacris.
Having trouble? Don't panic. Don't be alarmed. You need to file a claim? Holla at State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
That's right. You can file a claim on the app or call us.
Thanks, Mr. Chris.
No matter how ludicrous the situation, like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
State Farm, Bloomington, Illinois.
We on the same song.
Yeah, like you getting paper.
You getting paper off my song.
But nah, it's all love, man. Fuck all that.
And I think the craziest thing with that, especially being an artist, is you got to look at it as all of this is a partnership.
Mm-hmm.
Just because I'm creating the music, that don't mean that I'm not a part of this partnership.
Exactly.
And the partnership, everybody got to agree to certain terms and make sure that everybody's delivering what they got to do.
Right.
And I think that that's so important for any artist to know that. Understand this is a partnership.
Yeah.
Understand what you deserve to be getting, but understand what you need to be outputting as well.
Yeah, for sure. Nah, I agree with that. But you got to understand too, though, people sign kids.
who just want a way out.
Fresh out.
Who just want to get some money, you know what I'm saying?
Rap, trap, go to the league.
That's how I was like,
nah, I got the rap deal.
I got the rap deal. Somebody go rap. You feel me? So, you know what I'm saying? You know, me personally, I think they should have some implemented in the industry. Even though I know they won't. It'd take niggas like us to do it. But just, you know what I'm saying, putting folks through real, like, financial literature. Like, you know what I'm saying, training.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes, like, you know what I'm saying, really, like, so niggas can understand how to go in and get a fair deal without sacrificing too much. But sometimes you got to sacrifice a lot to get what you want.
Because
I done sacrificed a lot, and I still feel like I ain't got what I want out of this shit yet. You know what I'm saying? So It's a gift and a curse. It's a 50-50 thing when it comes to this shit. You just got to know what you're getting yourself into and what come with this shit and how much you can take out of this shit. This shit'll beat you the fuck up.
I could believe
it. This shit'll beat you the fuck up. If you ain't got a strong mindset, if you ain't built for this shit, it'll beat you the fuck up.
We've definitely seen some people fall off. And
you feel me?
Yeah, they look crazy.
They look crazy.
And I'm glad you said about you think that, you know, every artist maybe should take the financial literacy or something like that. I want to ask you a question. We see what's going on with the writers and the actors right in Hollywood.
Mm-hmm.
What is your thoughts and opinions on artists creating some type of union or something like that to where you guys can get better, you know, incentives and y'all can get treated better in the industry?
Everybody play their own game, bro. You know what I'm saying? You can get on the internet all day and say, let's do it.
Yeah.
Like, that's but like, niggas gotta want to do it.
And it's like, as musicians, y'all aren't a monolith. Like, it's not like something like the NFL or like a screenwriters.
Right.
Do y'all have like a writers guild or something for musicians?
I don't know what the hell it is.
I was about to say, not that I know of, bro.
Because like I know that like for the screenwriters guild, that's the whole people that's leading the strike that they on. And I forget who it is. I think it's Joe Budden. I done heard him call for like musicians to strike. But like you said, it sounds good on the internet.
Mm-hmm.
But if this isn't a monolith, if we don't have the structure, if we all in our own little pockets doing our own thing, realistically, how can we do so? Like, we each individually coming to the label and being like, nah, I ain't going to do this. Well, that's whenever you run into the issue. Everybody's situation different.
Everybody different.
Somebody just got in the deal. Mm-hmm. I got to recoup this money. Mm-hmm. Fuck what you talking about.
Exactly.
To be honest.
Exactly.
Like,
everybody got their own situation. At the end of the day, you know what I'm saying? Some of these labels don't give a fuck. They got Michael Jackson catalogs and Prince catalogs. You think they give a goddamn about Lil Johnny who got signed want to make a difference? They going to... But get your ass on.
And then they got this AI shit too.
You feel me? They got a whole bunch of shit going on. So
how you feel about the AI music stuff, man?
I've been watching a lot of interviews lately, and they keep bringing that up, and I'm just hearing everybody opinion on it. Me personally, everything changed, right? You got to evolve with the times. Like if you ain't evolving with the times, you gotta get left behind. If this is me just saying this. If a motherfucking robot can write my songs and put them bitches out and vibe out and I get paid for them, let that nigga write my shit, man. What the fuck? Let that nigga write my shit.
I was talking about that, though. Like, man, it's a big artist. He was like, yeah, I use ChatGPT now to write my lyrics and I just go in the booth and I lay it down.
See, I don't do that. You know what I'm saying? I can't sit here and say I do that. I still, like, you know what I'm saying, give my heart and soul to this shit.
In the pad still, or like you kind of freestyle?
I freestyle probably 98% of my shit. I think the last song I probably wrote was Ice Cold. Okay. And that's because I was on tour bus, you're writing shit.
That was probably 2015
type stuff? Hell nah. Ice Cold came out in 2020.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, okay, you're not opposed to the AI and everything, right?
Shout out AI, man. Real AI, though.
What do you do to draw your inspiration? Where do you get all of this shit from, right? Is it just traveling, or is it like living through your homeboys vicariously? Like,
I live through myself. This shit real life. This shit me. This shit, you know what I'm saying? Like, the songs the hit records, probably relationships, little flings I be dealing with, little shit I'm dating. You know what I'm saying? It's all about lifestyle. You know what I'm saying? I really make lifestyle music. I understand, like, people want to feel what's real. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? They don't want no Maybelline shit. They don't want no shit nigga just pulled out his ad. You're like, yeah, I want folks to know the shit I'm saying is relevant and you're going to feel it in some type of way. Even if you don't, somebody is going to understand, like, damn, I just went through that with my little bit. So I like to keep shit real fresh and just real, like, what I'm going through, man. Real emotions, real feelings, all that.
What's up? It makes sense. Make it authentic. Because you can always tell whenever somebody just saying some shit.
Just saying some shit. You know what I'm saying?
A lot of the, like, little guys, you know, little kids, they want to start rapping. Mm-hmm. They start, and you always emulate who you sound, who you like. And I'm like, bro, y'all saying shit y'all don't even know, have experience. It's like, you just saying it
start
it
like
sound
that,
cool.
It start like that, though.
Yeah, but then you find yourself. So
you find yourself. You find yourself.
Let me ask you about that process. Were you like, did you always have yourself? You was the first of the booth. You was like sounding influences.
I used to cap like a motherfucker back in the day. You know what I'm saying? I used to rap like you saying. I was a young nigga just rapping about shit. When we came out, like Crime Mob, them nigga was lit. You know what I'm saying? Of course, Gucci was going crazy. So nigga was just rapping about the shit they was rapping about. You feel me? Knowing damn well how the shit we probably ain't doing. You know what I'm saying? Even if we did, we ain't gonna tell it. You feel me? But, you know, everybody come out just trying to be somebody, so they want to rap like that, their favorite mm-hmm. artist. And then you get in the game, and you know what I'm saying? Me personally, I think I was back, you know what I'm saying, on the north side. I think I was at a gas station. And I forgot, it was my partner, friend, daddy, or some shit like that. It was just an old head. And I remember that nigga saying something like, man, you got to keep it real in the track. Like, you got to be, you know what I'm saying? You got to talk about what's going on in your life. Like, boom, 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 boom. And I remember my mama said some shit like that before because I used to just say shit. And it's like, the older you got, then niggas like Drake came out. And the nigga was too transparent. You like, God damn, that nigga goddamn make you feel like you right next to the nigga while he rapping. You know what I'm saying? So I'm like, shit, that's the key. You know what I'm saying? Be relevant. Talk about what's going on and
it's going to hit.
Was it ever like difficult to be that transparent though? You ever felt like
Of course you record and you feel like niggas gonna think differently or you know what I'm saying? But after a while it's like fuck it. You know what I'm saying? They're who I am. Yeah. Once you understand yourself and you ain't a lot of folks be afraid to look in the mirror. You know what I'm saying? They really don't know themselves, so they can't look at themselves now. Mm-hmm. They can't understand themselves. So why would they tell somebody else about themselves? They don't wanna tell themselves about themselves.
That's deep.
You know what I'm saying? So once you understand that part, it become easy. Like, I'm an open book. Like, what you see is what you get, bro. Like, I'm in a bit chilling, feet up, vibe. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't switch it up for no camera. I don't switch it up for no, if I got a suit on, I don't. I be myself.
Yeah.
I might polish it up a little more. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? But I'm not gonna change who I am.
Yeah.
If you don't like it, you don't like it. If you love it, you love it.
I think that's very important. I remember Jay-Z saying the same thing. Like,
yeah.
Yo, like the same person you're gonna get, same vernacular, I'm gonna be me.
You got to.
But I think that make people fuck with you more anyway though. Cause it's like, if I see you in this one room, right, you acting this way, then we get around another group of
people.
You
acting the whole different way.
You're like, damn, I don't even really know who you is now. Exactly.
You a chameleon.
Exactly.
Every room you in, you somebody different.
You can't trust a nigga like that.
No, you can't.
Exactly. And then what's going to make you want to listen to that person's music?
Exactly.
If you feel like you can't trust
them. Exactly. Like you can't trust niggas like that, man. So, I don't like niggas who act like that for real.
Nah.
I want to pivot a little bit, kind of get into, like, you mentioned 2017 whenever you got locked in on the business.
Yep.
You started your label not too long after that, right?
Yeah, around 2017. Like, as far as, like, I started Rare Sound.
Yeah.
I started a new imprint.
Okay.
Around that time, yeah.
So Rare Sound started off as an imprint. Now you guys independent label.
Rare Sound was just, it was really, Rare Sound started off as just when I was in LA, when I moved from Atlanta to LA. And, you know what I'm saying, shit was going on in the city. I didn't talk about it in interviews. Moved to LA. I came back, but we were slumlords at that time. That was Slum Anthem, all that shit was coming out. Mm-hmm. Yo, ho, we get slayed. We called ourselves slumlords. You know what I'm saying? It was really just young, wild niggas fucking hoes, drinking, just wild, just acting crazy. You know what I'm saying? But we was that for like 3-4 years. And, you know what I'm saying? I got an epiphany, like, bro, I can't be doing this shit when I'm now 27, 28. You know what I'm saying? Like, these grown ass hoes ain't going for that shit. Yeah. You feel me? Like, the pretty hoes, the ones that throwing that
they
shit on smelling good.
Call yourself
they don't want to hear that shit. You know what I'm saying? So I had to just be real with myself.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I had to go for a brand change. And it just took me a couple weeks to understand, like, who I was, you know what I'm saying, what I represent, you know what I'm saying, I'm writing shit down in my notepad, like, trying to just put it all together, you know what I'm saying, like, put the puzzle together. And I came to the conclusion that I was a rare individual, you know what I'm saying, like, just my approach on the game, you know what I'm saying, as far as, like, I was never in no bullshit, like, just how I just, even outside of music, how I conduct myself, how, you know what I'm saying, people view me, it's always like, damn, like, this nigga, like, really be on some, like, you know what I'm saying, he real rare, like, I don't do shit other people do. You know what I'm saying? I keep that shit playing. I handle my business. I stand on my business. So it went from me just calling myself Rare, moving back to Atlanta, doing a project with my brothers, Nard and B, and naming that bitch Rare. Rare turning to Rare Sound.
Rare to Rare Sound.
Gotcha. I'm like, all right, bet. That's the label. Rare Sound the label. Now we signing shit. Now we moving. You know what I'm saying? That's opened up a studio 5,000 square feet in Midtown for a guy that's not our color to just come in and be like, all right, I want my shit. You know what I'm saying? It just get me the fuck up out of there.
Yeah.
We wasn't even done with our mission. You know what I'm saying? It made me feel a way. You know what I'm saying? Everybody around was mad, but I was mad. I was pissed off, but I knew I couldn't do nothing about it. So I ain't about to just overwhelm myself, overwork myself for some shit. I'm about to huff and puff and just, you know what I'm saying, get crazy with the nigga. Like, I can't get the building back.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? All I can do is, all right, I'm getting my shit, figure out my next play. You know what I'm saying? But taking them gems, taking that, what just happened, and not letting it happen again. You know what I'm saying? Next time I get a build, I'm owning that bitch. You know what I'm saying? So,
you want to look for one right now?
I was, but them bitches expensive and ain't none available.
I could believe it.
You know what I'm saying? I was really going to just get something like this and just turn the whole bitch to a studio.
Yeah.
Like get a townhouse or get a, you know what I'm saying, a 3-story or something and just studio that bitch.
Your own retreat, the Rare Sound.
You feel me? And just have some shit like that, because that'll work too. It don't take much. You don't really need a big building.
Yeah.
It's just cool to have.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Some of the best songs people have recorded have been in a closet or some shit.
All my songs been recorded at the crib. All my biggest songs been at the crib. All my shits.
So I got a quick question too, because I know you said it started off as an imprint, then you transitioned to a label. Can you break down imprint versus label for us?
As far as like 427, 427, my birthday, April 27th. Okay. So we had 427 music since I got in the game before 2012, 11. And my mama been filed the LLC way before I even knew what the fuck an LLC was.
Oh, for real.
You know what I'm saying?
Shout out to Miles, dog.
Yeah, Miles Dukes, you know what I'm saying? She did it right. But so that's always been what we ran all everything through.
Mm-hmm.
So my business was always ran through my music, my label.
Even whenever you were like getting signed, they signed you, but they paid your business.
They paid my business. So, you know what I'm saying? I got great business credit. You know what I'm saying? All that shit been accumulating over the years. And it's so crazy. Folks always told me to sign. You know what I'm saying? Like, you ain't signing nothing. I never, ever had that in mind to sign nobody because I wanted to get fucking signed. You know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't about to sign nobody. I'm trying to get signed. But it really just became a thing where, like, I knew I had to transition, bro. Like, I couldn't be a little dog forever. I couldn't just be out here just rapping forever. Like, a lot of niggas get caught up in that shit and just want to rap forever. And then you look up and they don't look like they elevated in no way. They still look like the same shit. You know what I'm saying? Or they fishing for another song and they just out, looking burnt out. You know what I'm saying? And I never wanted that for myself. I'm real goal-oriented. You know what I'm saying? I write down my affirmations. I read my shit every day. I'm real locked in when it kind of discipline, knowing what's going on, my next move, my getting my year set up. You know, so I'm real big on that. So I just knew I had to level up. And I ain't knew how hard that shit was going to be. That motherfucker
never, you never know how hard it's going
to
be.
That motherfucker is tough. Like, I just had to clear my, you know what I'm saying, clear, you know what I'm saying, some, you know what I'm saying, a few. Nah, I ain't going to speak on that. But that shit get serious now because now you got other people's lives in your hand. Mm-hmm. You got other people depending on you. Like, you are the main source of their success while you still trying to be successful. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I don't know, just feel like nothing good enough. Unless a nigga got $100 million, $10 million in their account. You know what I'm saying? But this shit ain't never happened overnight, nigga. I got down with, like I said, it took me 10 years to get some money. You know what I'm saying? But it's like, folks now, they think that shit supposed to just happen for them.
I blame social media a lot,
happen
bro.
For them. You know what I'm saying? Happen for them. It's like, you got to put that work in yourself. Like, if I tell a nigga how much I had to do just to get $1,000, you know what I'm saying? They'll look at me like, damn, for real? It's just, but the new age, some of them don't understand that, some of them do. And the ones that do, those are the ones who make it.
Can you kind of expound on some of the things you had to do to make $1,000 at one point?
Hi, everyone. Jazzy Bell here from Woman in Hip Hop Podcast. And if you're a fan of music, then be sure to check out and subscribe to Woman in Hip Hop Podcast, a show that focuses on the many talents and influences from women within the culture. And is brought to you exclusively by Revolt Podcast Network, anchored in hip hop, powered by creators.
Man, shit. Like I said, pass not CD in the club every night, getting at home 3-4 in the morning. I'm talking, I'm like 18, 19 years old, getting at home 3 in the morning, got to work at Babies R Us at 5:30 to go inventory and boxes, getting fired, falling asleep behind the boxes because I'm tired as fuck, not even getting no paycheck from them niggas, driving 2-3 hours to country air town just to perform for a bottle of Grey Goose. And $100 and driving back, almost run out of gas, get back to the city. Like, damn. Man, we did so much shit in this shit, dog. Like, the story, the list is long, but it's just like, all that shit I had to sacrifice to get to where I am now.
I think that's also very important, though, because you build some real grassroots fans as well.
For sure.
I think that a lot of new artists right now, they see a lot of people blow up and they just want to go hit that festival state.
Oh, for sure.
They want to go be, you know, Rolling Loud or go hit whatever. But they didn't build that fan base that's where it's like, oh, yo, I remember seeing him where he came to the spot. Mm-hmm. It was 200 people, but yeah, he rocked this bitch out.
For sure, for sure. And that's one thing about me, like, as an artist, don't no artist want to perform in front of 10, 15 people. It's a confident.
Small businesses are the heartbeat of our nation. Meet the force behind professional development and certification for Small Business America. The Private Small Business Society, pioneers of professional development for small businesses. With over 2,000 active members, we stand as the exclusive destination for certifications to elevate your business game. Everyone talks about starting a business, but at PSBS, we're focused on what truly matters, guiding you with proper training and development on how to grow and scale that business. Join us for the State of Small Business Address on Friday, November 24th at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time. This is an event that you don't want to miss, as we'll be diving deep into the challenges and triumphs of small businesses across America. Visit thepsbs.com or click the link below in the show notes to learn more. Private Small Business Society. There is no America without Small Business America. See you on the inside, family. Peace.
Breaker. You know what
I
saying?
Can believe it. You just looking at the crowd empty.
I didn't been there. I didn't got damn. I almost fell apart performing in front of nothing. You know what I'm saying? But you still got to get on folks show all, because them same 10, 15 might be your biggest fan that carry you on 10 years later. You know what I'm saying? Like, how, you know what I'm saying, Beyonce got the Beehive. The Beehive might be the first 10 that was in that motherfucker.
That's Destiny's Child.
You feel me? So it's about how strong you is, how built you is, man. I remember I almost started making music probably like 6 years ago. I was on tour and I did a show in New York. And it was probably like 40, 50 people in that bitch. I was always scared to perform in New York because New York was one of the markets where it just, you from the South.
They ain't fucking with
you. They're not fucking with you. You know what I'm saying? Unless you're getting the major push from the labels, the big, the top tier. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. If you ain't getting that, it's a hard market to break into. But it was 1 year I went through New York. It was like we was on tour. We was on tour bus and we had to like two cities back to back. And they wasn't what I wanted. You know what I'm saying? But I was just building my touring presence. You know what I'm saying? I just was getting on the road. It was like two shows back to back that just had me frustrated. And I got to New York and it was just weak as fuck. But I was over it, dog. You know what I'm saying? I actually did break down in the back of the bus. And you know what I'm saying? One of my tour managers at the time, his dad, I didn't know from a can of paint. Was banging, everybody was banging on my door. I was like, yeah, I'm cussing niggas out. Like, get the fuck away. You know, I'm toe up. Mm-hmm. He came back there, by piece, put me back together. You know what I'm saying? Made me realize the bigger picture. I kept the show going. And shit, fast forward, I'm selling out center stage, back to back, on tour. Did spin the block tour this year. Pretty Ones tour this year. 98% sold out. All the, you know, I did like 50 dates, 50 plus dates. Killing shit. Hey, independent
is the biggest piece.
I put the money up on tour. Like, I'm the one who you know what I'm saying? So it's like.
And I'm glad you're getting into that part of the independent stuff, right? Because that's one of the things I want to talk to you about. With you doing things independently now versus whenever you were with Interscope and they was pushing everything for you. Like, what are some of the things that you had to learn in order to make these things happen?
Man, you had to be a fly on the wall with the label, bro. Like, us, you know what I'm saying? Me and my business partner, you know what I'm saying? We knew what we had to do to get out the deal. I had to drop 5 albums.
Mm-hmm.
That's when I was Kiss Five, the Float, the Vibe Forever, the Rare Family. I was in that mode where I just wanted to get out my deal.
Was Lyric App on there?
Lyric App was before. That was before. That was when Lyric. It's crazy. That's Lyric App when shit started getting shaky with me and the label. Okay. And when they stopped being responsive, that was like the last project. Then we went to our little mode and turned back up. Lottery and all that shit came out.
Gotcha.
Then the label came back around. You know what I'm saying? So at that point,
after you got the independent buzz on TikTok, that whenever they was.
Yeah, that when they came back around.
That's,
you know,
crazy.
That when they was like, oh, what you doing? You know what I'm saying? And that's when we went back into the building and Kiss Five became like a, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, I knew I had to get out my deal. I was like, I get the fuck on. But what was I talking about? You
being a fly on the wall on the lake.
Yeah. Being a fly on the wall. During that process of me learning business, you know what I'm saying, that time when I came back from L.A. and I knew I had to lock in and get right,
mm-hmm.
I'm understanding more shit that I didn't understand. So now when we on email threads and we on these conference calls with the labels and they saying certain shit starting to ring a bell, like, oh. So then when you go back to your research, like, oh, this is what they talking about. You know what I'm saying? So me and my business partner were just figuring out who the fuck they use. You know, so we on email thread like they talking to who? This who doing all this shit?
Yeah.
This who they talk this they, oh, so they not really doing this. They hiring this nigga, hiring this nigga.
Contracting this shit out.
Outsourcing everything. Shit, we gonna outsource.
Cut out the middleman. You know what the label is at that point.
Yeah, we gonna outsource. We gonna do exactly what they doing. We gonna figure out, you know what I'm saying, who they using. Build these relationships with the people that we already know. Cause you know what I'm saying, this game too, you gotta understand, like, you can be partners with a nigga for 5-10 years, he can be in the same level as you. 5-10 years later, he's sitting at Apple Music and he like the one that's in control of, mm-hmm. you know what I'm saying? Like
creative director type.
You feel
shit.
Me? I got a lot of friends like that's in the game that's really like the shakers and game changers, you know. So it's all about just keeping in relationships and learning the shit that you need to learn and then reaching out to your resources, like, hey, I'm doing this, you know what I'm saying? Can you help me? Sometimes they can, sometimes they can't. But you gotta put that money up though. At the end of the day,
gotta put that bread up.
I just went radio independently. We spent the block. It took 8 months to clear. Finally got it clear. Went radio. Just paid my radio dude $30,000 last week.
Wait.
Just paid.
Hold on. I thought you can't pay to be on the radio, Camp.
What you mean?
I thought that's like FCC, whatever. You know what I'm
saying? How you think niggas on the radio?
Yeah. Niggas say shit.
Niggas just take a little ticket out, like, oh, and put this nigga on the radio. Nah, nigga pay to get on the radio.
I was saying,
even though, like, labels.
Yeah, that, and I've always heard that, right? Like, you got to pay to play, right? Pay over.
Yeah.
But to me, it just never made sense. It's like, technically, this shit illegal,
nigga,
right?
I know you done heard a trash ass song. Like, why the fuck this shit on the radio?
I know. You know that some songs get certain push. So, like, with that, were you having to do that yourself? Like, did it make you realize, like, the push that you got early from the label, did it make you value it more or not really?
Oh, for sure. You know what I'm saying? When you got to do it yourself, you be like, God damn, that's how much that nigga had to pay? Why they be acting like that? You know what I'm saying? Me on the side of being, like, a label owner, you know what I'm saying? And it's, like, a whole different side of it. I'm starting to understand how these niggas work, mm-hmm, and why, like, an artist, you know what I'm saying? Just Lil Ray Ray, you know what I'm saying? I'm the label. I done put $2 million in Lil Ray Ray. You know what I'm saying? Lil Ray Ray ain't doing what he need to do.
He bullshitting.
But he bullshitting. But he complaining and want more money, or he want this. Like,
damn, Ray Ray.
Lil Ray Ray. You know what I'm saying? I just put X amount into you. You ain't even making me know. Mm-hmm. So, nah, Lil Ray Ray. You know what I'm saying? When you figure that shit out, you let me know. You know what I'm saying?
That's how you end up on the shelf.
That's how you end up on the shelf. You know what I'm saying? But if Lil Ray Ray in the studio every day going viral, doing what he got to do, he going crazy, that's when the label like, yeah, we partners. Mm-hmm. You feel what I'm saying? So it's like, when you an artist, you don't understand that part, but then you get on the other side, you're like, oh, this shit just a business, bro. You giving out a loan. You want a nigga to make your money back. You know what I'm saying? Nigga, is we partners or what? What we doing? You bullshitting or we making money?
And I think the best way to look at this is like, say you loan some money to your family, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you loan some money to Uncle John or Aunt, mm-hmm, Catherine, right? And you see them, they partying. They ain't pay you back yet, though.
Oh, they
turn. But every time you go talk to them, oh, I ain't got it right now. But every time you look at their ass,
exactly,
they out here living the life and
they
shit
going
like
crazy.
That.
Hey, make it the kicker. They ask you for some more bread while they still owe you.
You feel me?
So, that, and that's how I look at that shit.
That's how that shit is. That's exactly how it is. So, you know what I'm saying? Like, I hated it for so long, but then, you know what I'm saying, you get in here, you be like, shit, them niggas got every right to feel like that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Some situations be more bullshit than others. You know what I'm saying? I ain't saying every situation is the same, like, but you got to come in with a business mindset and understand what you're getting yourself into. And that's just, like, the biggest learning curve I had to learn. And once I understood that, I looked at the whole scope of the game different. But it still be some fuck shit going on.
Yeah, they definitely gonna try to pimp
him. Don't get it twisted now. These niggas
don't twist his words.
Crazy.
Up,
these niggas is crazy.
I got a question though. So, do you think every artist should at least get with a label at least for some point in their career?
Yeah, I know.
Okay, and the reason why I'm asking that is because what you said, you were able to learn, mm-hmm, once you started paying attention.
Yeah.
You were able to learn this is the outsource and this is who they're hiring and shit like, yeah, that. I feel like if artists were actually to say, okay, I'm going to join this label, but I'm going to pay attention to their system.
True.
Or I might have my homeboy. I might not be able to do it. I got my homeboy who's my manager. Mm-hmm. Hey, figure out everything that these niggas got going
for
on,
sure,
and how we can replicate it.
For sure. But you can learn all that on YouTube without being on the label.
Hey,
all you gotta do is pay for an online course or something. Somebody send us some gang, get on billboard.com and be a member. They tell you everything you need.
Oh, so billboard.com do that type of shit?
They do that shit. Chart metrics, you know what I'm saying? Artists can just buy chart metrics and see where they getting play at and just entertain those markets. It's a lot of shit that you can just find out.
They got tools out there.
You know what I'm saying? It's the internet. It's hella information. Like, it ain't really, the information is not getting blocked no more. If you search for it, you're gonna find it.
Gotcha.
You usually gotta have the bread to afford it.
Gotcha.
That's the tricky part. This shit is expensive, my nigga.
So okay. I hear you on that. So how important do you think, like, things like TikTok, right? Because Lottery went viral. It was, mm-hmm, used as a sound for God knows how long. Yeah. I mean, you still be using it.
Right.
But
can't stand that motherfucker now.
For real? You done heard it too much?
I don't even perform that song. But go ahead.
We'll get into that part later.
Yeah, but so with stuff like that, how important do you think TikTok is in the whole landscape of now marketing your music?
Everything digital. So TikTok still play a huge role. We were just on the phone with this guy who run a TikTok company. And, you know what I'm saying, he got all the biggest influencers on TikTok. And the way they got that shit so monopolized, like, it's crazy.
Really?
Yeah, he was on the phone talking about, like, shit, my influencers, they buying boats and shit now. Like, he making them niggas money, like, people that just dancing. You know what I'm saying? Influencers, like, getting paid like that. So all this shit digital, dog, it still play a huge role. But I always feel like it's always something new that's gonna come. You know what
Do you think it's bigger, like a bigger role than the radio nowadays?
It's tricky because we be having that same conversation because we feel like radio still play a major role and make you a superstar. Radio, like your regular 9 to 5, you know, everybody don't get on fucking TikTok and shit. You know what I'm saying? You got your regular folks that wake up in the morning and go to work and they hear shit on the radio and they're like, oh, that's the biggest nigga in the world. I hear this motherfucker every day. He must be the most famous. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's the perception. So I think it go hand in hand. I think if you capitalize on both, you can't lose. Mm-hmm. You go radio and you go viral and you go digital. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's like the best of both worlds.
Yeah. And that makes sense. I mean, in any business, right? Mm-hmm. You don't want to just be stuck in one channel in terms of marketing. You want to market yourself across any other channel. Like, as many channels as possible. Like us. I mean, Instagram is our biggest, right?
Yeah.
But we got YouTube, TikTok.
Gotta have it.
Google, all that shit. You try to get out as many different ways as possible.
Right.
But I guess my question would be like, if you had to pick one, gun to your head, radio, you got 50 bands, radio or TikTok?
I'm going to say radio, TikTok, or playlist.
Or playlist, I'm going.
I feel like playlist fell off, bro.
I feel like
it's still going. It's still strong. There's only a few of them that's still strong, but
like Rap Caviar,
The big ones, you know what I'm saying? They keep you in there, you streaming, because when you streaming, you make money. But that's a hard question. I think I'll go number one radio, bro.
Number one radio,
because you can go, you can, cool, you gotta understand radio. If you go number one, you're getting booked, you're getting paid. Your niggas know what the fuck going on, you can charge X amount, what I'm saying?
You got a trending sign on TikTok that don't necessarily
A trending sign on TikTok, your shit going viral online, but that don't mean you getting booked and getting shows, you know what I'm saying? Because the viral song is 15 seconds. They don't really know, you know what I'm saying? A lot of niggas go viral and go crazy online, but can't sell no tickets and do no shows.
Facts.
You know what I'm saying? So if you going crazy on the radio, this is my opinion, you know what I'm saying? Y'all take it how y'all want to take it. You radio, you more of a star. And your song is getting real replay value, hearing it every day. So niggas like, even if they not a fan, like, it's the weekend and the same little regular 9 to 5 going to work, and they hear so and so in the city this weekend. They might not be a fan, but they like that song. Like, shit, I'm about to go.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm going. You know what I'm saying? So now the shit looking more lit than it need to be just cause you on the radio. Mm-hmm. But they not like, on TikTok, I'm about to go get the niggas on TikTok dancing and shit. Like,
and to your point. With those 15 second sound bites of songs, I don't think I've ever really went listen to a song from that.
Me neither.
Like, I might click on the sound
bite, just sounds so
video.
Crazy.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I gotta go.
Like, what the fuck is this? If it ain't that, I just hear the sound and I just keep scrolling.
Hell yeah. And I think that's probably the biggest point is that shit don't really drive you to take the action. It's just like, you so used to just scrolling all the time anyway, so it's just like, oh, I entertain this for a few seconds. Let me keep on scrolling.
And then you gone.
And I think with the radio part, it's like you said something about like the 9 to 5, right? Whenever you walking into stores, they'll play the radio.
That's true.
Exactly.
Whenever you out and about,
Hip-Hop
like
Hip Hop Nation, Pandora, when you're in the elevator, when you anywhere, you hearing that's like the soundtrack to your world.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? So in your mind, you're like, damn, I hate this nigga in Foot Locker. I hate this nigga in my car. He must be like, you know what I'm saying? So it's a perception thing, like, famous. Mm. You know what I'm saying? It's that famous aspect. It's radio.
And then a lot of radio stations syndicated, too. So they're in every fucking market like that, too.
But a lot of folks probably disagree. They probably think radio dying out. You know what I'm saying? Everybody got their own opinion. That's why I said both of them is key.
Gotcha.
You know what I'm saying? Get radio, you're going to get paid. You go viral, you're online going viral. The kids love you. Mm-hmm. Now you got another 10 years of... I know who that is. You know what I'm saying? When Lottery came out, the kids like, oh, K Kemp. Even if they probably didn't know Cutter Off or Comfortable or all that shit, they know Lottery. So now they like, who is this nigga?
And they get to die.
Now they tune in to everything I put out now. Like, oh, I fuck with him. You know what I'm saying? So it got his own little 1-2s.
Okay. So I got one more thing with the music business, man. This is
most about of the my streaming? Opinion.
You already know
okay,
it.
Okay, cool.
You already know it. This is one of my things. So this is more so a trend thing that I've been noticing, right? You've been seeing some of the artists with bigger catalogs. I seen Dr. Dre, Lil Wayne, a few of them started selling off portions of their catalog. My personal theory, crackpot theory, whatever you want to call it, tinfoil hat, I believe it's because of streaming.
Yeah.
I feel like streaming has lowered the value of music.
Mm-hmm.
So they cashing out now before, because like I be looking into shit like Spotify and all that. And Spotify not really making no money for real. Like if you really look at it,
they paying pennies on a dollar, bro. All them platforms paying low.
And but when you think, so music, we used to go buy albums individually, $10-$15, take it home, woo-doo. Yeah, you had product cost, package and all that. But you paid $10 for just that album.
Mm-hmm.
I paid $14.99 a month. I could listen to your album.
Everything.
I could listen to anybody. I could go listen to fucking Teddy Pendergrass if I want
for
to.
Sure.
It's
for
all
sure.
$14.99.
For sure.
So the pot getting split against so many people.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas like now, I feel like a lot of people cashing out because now it's almost like that prime opportunity. We don't know what's going to happen in 5-10 years of the streaming shit.
True.
So I just wanted to get your opinion on that. Do you think I'm tripping? I'm off the wall? I'm kind of on to some shit.
No, they got to figure that streaming shit out. That shit's some bullshit, honestly. But, you know, from the stats, the music business is still growing. It's going to be, and the money is still
flowing.
Up.
So it's like, I understand why people selling their catalog. I got offered to sell my catalog. I feel like what they gave me was too low.
Mm-hmm.
The offer was too low. I feel like my music was worth way more than what they sent. It's like, it depends on what type of hustler you is.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? Like Future, what, he got like 70 for a year. I'm pretty sure Future was already 60, 70 up before he got here. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, get your money now and do whatever you want to do with it now, or just save it and let it just come in. Like, oh, it's how you want to play it, bro. Yeah. Like, first of all, your catalog got to be worth something.
Yeah.
Everybody can't just sell their fucking catalog. It got to be worth something. But when you know it's worth something, it's on you. Like, do you want to wait for your checks or you want your money now? Mm. You know what I'm saying? Either way it go.
I'm on my J.G. Wentworth time. It's my money and I need it.
You feel me? Like, if I had a 70 waiting, hell yeah, I want my money now. You know what I'm saying? But it just, everybody in different like situations. Like, I was watching that Jay-Z interview. Was it Good Morning? It was something.
Yeah, you talking about Gail.
With Gail. And Jay said, you know what I'm saying, he'd never sell his catalog. You know what I'm saying? He give it to his kids. You know what I'm saying? But that's Jay-Z talking.
Yeah, like, billionaire catalog. You know what I'm saying?
It's too deep. He don't got to sell his shit. You know what I'm saying? He already racked up. So everybody in different positions when it comes to that. So it's like, you want your money now, or you want to just see what it's going to be.
The thing that got me on this thought pattern was when Dr. Dre did it, right?
Yeah.
Because everybody know Dr. Dre up. Dr. Dre been up since he sold beats.
Exactly.
And so, like, whenever everybody's like, why would he do that? It's $10 million a year for his family for the rest of his life. I mean, yeah, I get that.
Yeah.
But that's 20 years to get 200 mil.
Facts.
Whereas, like, I get 200 mil today.
Yeah.
And I still keep half of my catalog.
Exactly. That makes a lot of sense.
You know,
I'll take that 200 any day.
I'm telling you. So not, I do want to kind of segue out the music. You said something earlier that kind of like, I really just wanted to know. You was like, I say my affirmations every day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what are some of those affirmations that make K-Camp tick and run?
I got a lot of them, bro. Like,
top three.
Let me see.
My brother said, like, I keep it in the phone. I ain't playing with y'all.
Shit,
right. Now that's a good practice though, for real. Mm-hmm. Like, it's something that I should get into more.
I do not.
I ain't gonna lie to you. I wake up sometimes, and I think that's a problem. Sometimes you just wake up and start your day without doing like a little routine.
So look, daily read. I want the best. I want to experience the best. I deserve the best. I release myself from obstacles and boundaries. I'm fearless. I'm powerful. I'm grateful. I'm a God. I'm love. I'm confident. I will hustle with a purpose.
Damn, we should have hit him up before we got the damn. We got an affirmation station tomorrow. We should have hit you up.
I'm a first generation billionaire. I will be of service, network, key relationships, health, mind, body, soul. I ain't even gonna read all it, but this is
I feel that that's a powerful list of things. And you say this daily reading.
Feel me?
Yeah, I feel you.
Yeah,
I think that's so powerful. And once again, I talked about my son earlier. I started affirming him right now. Like, I look into him, I'm like,
you got to.
You powerful.
You got to.
You a king.
Yeah, for sure.
Whenever you walk in the rooms, you are going to make a presence. It's just like, I think that is so necessary, even though he might not be comprehending and getting this.
But it's going to
resonate.
Mm-hmm,
and I think every black man should have something like that where we tell ourselves that, just because every time we go out in the world,
beats you down.
I know racism isn't as terrible as it was in the 60s, mm-hmm. but you still experience that shit somehow.
For sure.
Like, you still gonna have where some people shitting on you or whatever. Mm-hmm. And if you just remember and tell yourself, I'm this,
yeah,
you'll never be able
Can't
to
nobody
lose.
Beat you. That's how I feel like, that's how, honestly, bro, that's how I was able to overcome all that bullshit that happened to me. You know what I'm saying? Like, shit like this, knowing my value, knowing who I was, and you know what I'm saying? Even when people ain't see it, I still seen it. You know what I'm saying? And it's just one of them things, like being confident in yourself and just keeping God first and just knowing the mission, staying on the mission, staying locked in on the mission. Everybody ain't gonna understand the mission. Everybody ain't gonna see your vision. These your eyes. This is what you seeing. So that shit saved me for real.
Hell yeah. Real. Hey man, I love that, dog.
Yeah, bro, you might have just inspired me to start doing affirmations. Hey,
you got
yeah,
to go for hold, bro. Dog. You got go to. For bro. I write them on my mirror.
I remember you had them on your mirror at your old apartment.
Yeah, just because if I'm gonna be in the bathroom anyway, I can look at the mirror. I can say it, then it's also doing two things. I'm able to read it every day, but I see it and say it to myself.
Exactly.
So now it's like I can see this, mm-hmm. and I'm visualizing it in my mind, mm-hmm. that this is what's gonna happen.
That worked.
Mm-hmm. That works. So we got a few more questions. Then we're gonna let you go.
We gotta get the rapid fire. Yeah, we got the rapping singles.
So it's one before I want to go to the rapid.
Okay.
So the very first, my last question is: what's your goals for the next 5 to 10 years? Where do you see yourself taking this?
Next 5 to 10, I feel like 10 is a long term.
Well, we do five.
Do five. The biggest independent label in the world. Me becoming the one of the biggest independent artists and influencers in the world, as far as like just opening up a new way to do shit. You know what I'm saying? As an entrepreneur, as an artist, as a businessman. You know what I'm saying? Just like breaking the walls down. Something like how P&M did it. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Cash Money, like one of them legendary record breaking. Like, how the fuck they do it type thing. That's been my goal. You know what I'm saying? Rare shit. Rare sound shit. You know what I'm saying? That's like been on the homework for the last couple of years. So that's really the goal. Just influencing. You know what I'm saying? Being a man of the people. Being a real one at the end of the day and just staying authentic and just making great business decisions and great deals. You know what I'm saying? That's all it is. Just once you make a great deal, that's when everybody talking.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, when I had the situation with TikTok, the shit, you know what I'm saying, with the label lottery, all that shit, you know what I'm saying? And fast forward 2 years later, I signed a deal with TikTok independently.
Oh, you know what I'm saying?
Shit like that. So, and you know what I'm saying, folks be looking like, whoa. You know what I'm saying? But
TikTok
in my mind, I'm like,
distribution deals?
Yeah, like, they is. I did pretty ones through TikTok.
That's hard.
But shit like that, you know what I'm saying? But on a bigger scale, you know what I'm saying? To a lot of people, that was a big move. Mm-hmm. It was a big move. But to me, I was like, ah, that's cool.
Next,
because you see yourself.
You feel me? Like I see a lot more for myself. So it's like next 5, 10, shit like that, bro. And also creating the biggest superstars in the game. You know what I'm saying? I need a couple under my belt. That's just like, you know how Bird had like Wayne's and Drake. I need a few of them.
Hell yeah, that's what's up.
A few of them.
So we get into the rapid fire. You got your first.
Okay, yes sir, yes sir. So my question I always like to ask everybody, man: what's the biggest lesson, like money lesson, you learned that you would want to share with anybody?
Biggest money lesson. Man, it's your money. Do what the fuck you want to do with your money.
That's a little unconventional, but I feel you.
Nah.
Say that money though.
Say that money. You know what I'm saying? Get you a good lawyer, good accountant, you know, good business attorney. Anything that's gonna protect you in the long run, put that money up. Say that money. But also, don't be scared to spend that money, mm-hmm. when it's time to spend that money. Because if you ain't spending no money, you ain't going to make no money. That's you holding fact. All that money, the money ain't doing shit for you. You know what I'm saying? Put that money in the sun, it's going to make you more money. But don't be done with the money. But don't be scared to have fun with the money. You work hard, spend your money if That's you want to spend it. But know how to spend it and don't fuck it off where you ain't got no more and you're looking crazy and your hoe's gone.
Hey, that's a bar.
You don't want to be bitchless.
You know what I'm saying? Spend that bitch wisely.
I'm glad you said that. My Broken next question bitches. Is, what is the dumbest thing you've ever done with your money? What have you be like, man, I really fucked that up?
I don't think I really did no dumb shit with my money. Throw it on these hoes at Boobie.
That was funny. That was funny.
So, you had a good time though.
Great time.
I still haven't been to Booby Trap.
You gotta go.
Yeah,
I go crazy. They burn holes in my pockets.
Burn holes. Okay, you got a couple more.
Yeah, I got like two more. So my second one is: do you invest in things outside of music, like real estate, stocks,
anything like that? Yeah, I was into the stock. You know, when everybody was going stock crazy, you know, everybody thought they was stock gurus and shit.
Hey, from 2020 to 2021, man, you couldn't go wrong. You throw your money in that bitch, you going up.
For sure. So, you know, I tapped into that. I had started a trucking company. I sold my truck, though. That shit was, it was just too much.
Everybody
sold a lot of people getting out of trucks right now.
Yeah, that shit was way too much. You know, I do the fashion. I put a lot of money into. I got my own brand on fashion line. But my biggest investment is myself, bro.
That's the best investment too.
Hell yeah. You know what I'm saying? I bet it on myself every time. Like, I know what I'm capable of, so I'm willing to put all the money I got into myself, into what I believe in.
That's what's up. My last question, and we ask every guest this.
Okay.
Do you have life insurance?
I think I do.
I need you to know.
I know I do though. No, I definitely got life insurance. Like I ain't fucking around with that. My mama makes sure.
Yeah, see, your mama be on that. I'm pretty sure. Even if you don't know, she knows for sure.
She got us on point. You know what I'm saying? Now, health insurance, I might have to goddamn renew a couple of goddamn ounces.
Hey man, we got some people that can help you.
Yeah, for sure. You know what I'm saying?
But life insurance. One second, hold on. No, nigga. Health insurance is not for you. It's not, nigga. No, it's not.
Them doctor visits be taxing.
I'm about to say, fuck what you talking about,
them
nigga.
That motherfucker be got there. You go in for a little checkup, they charge you $500. You like, come on, man.
I try to pay a copay. I don't care how rich I am, nigga.
I'm just saying,
fuck
nigga,
what you talking about.
I'm just saying, nigga. Health insurance, sometimes the deductibles be, it don't make sense to have it.
But man, you can buy, you can find a plan that work for you, my dog.
Yeah.
Hell
yeah. Yeah, for sure. Well, camp brother. Want to say appreciate you.
Appreciate
y'all,
boy, man. For sure, man.
Appreciate you, my brother.
It's a good interview, man.
Hell yeah.
Love.
Definitely, man.
So look, we're going to wrap this up. Once again, we in Atlanta. We just had the Black Men Summit. This shit went crazy. We had a great time. We met some great brothers. We're able to affect some lives. Y'all make sure y'all catch us next year. We going up. This is going to be our third year doing this. We don't know where we doing it at, but you make sure y'all sign up for that email list. Go to blackmensummit.com. What you got, David?
Man, listen, y'all, I appreciate y'all tapping in. Y'all make sure y'all give us that 5-star rating and review. Continue to share the show with people that can benefit from it. And until next time, this is Black World Renaissance.
Signing out. Peace.
Yeah.